Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, episode 29. In this installment, Amrik has brought Yogi to Chandigarh, capital of Punjab, where they're going to stay overnight at an orphanage for girls and home for widows. The station cab set them down in Mohali, a satellite city flanking Chandigarh, outside a red brick house. A gate sign read, Guru Ki Sharan Home. Come, Santaji, I have some work. We will stay overnight. Amrik knocked on the door. A young girl opened, in white Punjabi suit and dark blue turban.
Uncle Ji, she said with folded palms. Why Guruji ka khalsa?
Amrik added. Why Guruji ki fateh? Is Bibaji here? I have brought a friend.
This way, uncle, she is sitting in office.
Very good, Bete. Your English is improving. Yogi, smiling, followed on behind. A host of little turbans peeped from rooms.
Uncle G, chorused girlish giggles.
Led to Bibi G, they both shared the Khalsa greeting spoken Singh to Singh, originating from the 10th Sikh master.
Santaji, meet my sister, Amar Kaur. She cares for widows, daughters, and the orphans.
Sat Sri Akal, said Yogi.
Amrik had coached him in the Sikh hello goodbye, their namaste, suitable for anyone to use, and also meaning the truth lives on forever.
I'm very happy to meet you, Bibiji. I didn't know Amrik had a sister.
Both of them laughed, sharing a private joke. She wore the same white clothes and lady's turban draped with chiffon, along with a curved knife on shoulder baldric. She's a Pakka Sikh. Bibaji follows to the letter the Guru's code, while I dye my beard, tie and primp it up neat for business, or so I tell myself. I should keep a lion mane like yours.
Yogi had forgotten his beaded locks and felt more mock hippie with a shin-length robe. Just then they heard a baby.
Please wait, said Amar. She then returned, nursing an infant. Another moonshine doorstep baby left one cool night. It was time. Amrik explained their visit. The refuge housed 65 ruined lives. Widows and daughters, orphans of separatists killed in armed police encounters after Indira Gandhi attacked the Golden Temple with troops and tanks in 1984 and other leading Sikh shrines of the country. Thousands died through army massacres. The pogroms led to angered insurrection calling for creation of Khalistan, a buffer country next to Pakistan. A decade of guerrilla war ensued, dividing Sikh from Hindu, once close-knit communities who intermarried, with the eldest son often becoming a Sikh. Guru Ki Sharan meant the Guru's shelter. As Amar Kaur bottle-fed the child, Amrik Singh went on with his history, the residual grievances about Punjab and Nehru's broken promises after partition. Who can think we are not Indian? Yogi was lost. India should mean shanti, not loggerhead minorities and war. The mooting of a landlocked Khalistan seemed pure fan fiction.
Now our boys have been led astray, with Laks now dead.
Amra said, Waheguru. Amrik described Punjab as a lone woman in white dress, lying sideways with a gaping stomach wound, her soul blood history leaking away like oil. Now we have a generation of orphans.
Our girls are trying to rebuild lives from nothing.
So are there only girls and widows here? Yes, continued Amrik.
Men burn and fight, fight and die, but women are our ghee lamps. They keep alight the flame and pass it on. Amar Kaur broke in. He is right. India has long believed the fiction that a woman hasn't a soul. We are helping her find it. One day she will be the best guru of her children and life storyteller. I see you play an instrument, Yogiji. Later on, will you play for us? Our girls are talented at Shabad Kirtan.
It was expected, but he wanted to stay silent. After Amrik, he knew this was another house of music and felt less the star. He should let hostesses lead the way. With classical Hindustani, he was an infant.
The corridor, Singhni, who had greeted them, sat at the harmonium, and another lass in dark blue turban, white suit, stocky body, tuned the tublas with some chunky wax, touching the treble head with silver hammer to meet the fundamental of the singer. Another bowed a sitar-neck-like object, with the mournfulness of a dying swan. Amrik said, "It's called the Dilruba."
Guru Ki Sharan was chorused again and again. He thought it was the home's well-chosen theme song. Their angelic voices overwrote life's pain and lifted them to the plane past right and wrong. Closing eyes, he submitted without understanding. Inside this singing garden, this fragrant psalm, the tight rows of the heart began expanding, pushing to sun, then grounding him in calm. His music, by the look of it, reached out, yet this Shabad Kirtan performed the opposite, and it did not seem to have one shred of doubt and sang without ambition as singing reached it. He was lifted from peaks to clouds and further on to the end of place, distant and wide. It made him feel how small he was on an aural bridge built from nothing. Sound voice printing, bricks in the air, instruments playing with no musicians, expanding him further, stepping up notes, lifting with heart and moving en masse. They walked across, then bounced on air and bounced again until the earth voice was calling him down. It was Amrik Singh riding above the refrain of girls joining together, no one bigger, no one smaller, asking him to unzip and play his cracked guitar. The guitar is longing for the tablas. The tablas are longing for the voice. The voice is longing for the breath, and the breath is longing for the ether. The ether is longing for the spark. The spark is longing for the skin. The skin is longing for the touch, and the touch is waiting for the touch. The touch is hoping for the cheek. The cheek is planning for the hand. The hand is reaching for the lips, and the lips are closing on the lips. The lips are running with the salt. The salt is smarting in the mouth. The mouth is reaching for the word, and the word is gasping in the sea.
Yogi remembered a shelly beach with Margot. They picnicked near Cape Jarvis for the day. A tartan rug with the girls beyond sand tussocks, where wind creeps up and whispers in the ear. Don't forget what you saw along the way. Blonde paddocks creeping to the hills, orchard plots and grids of vineyard green, the highway hugging your car along the coast, the blue-green seagull surfline lapping land to the fingertip of a peninsula. The ocean calls to reach with one desire. Remember, you are part of something vast. A day of family, whale-watching, and much peace.
Does faith alone open through the forehead to feel and see things beyond a sitting room? He had sat down humbled by some little girls with pure hearts and let go of his pride. So far, he'd always gone it alone, flittering from the shifting ordinals, from birth, from book to book, from state to state without clear purpose, except
and urged to find some place or person who might be a home. These orphans of militants had been forced to ask the question, how to make a stand, to sit down here and now and sing, just sing. It was getting dark. Yogi felt the need for fresh air. The sun was setting fast. An orange sea with drifting swan of cloud passed over the epi ball of sunset. And here were golden fireflies in the dusk, dancing in circular sweeps from shrub to fence. Yogi had only seen them once before in a Queensland rainforest, dossing in a shack of Rasta friends, the most part stoned and dull to luminous bugs flying outside their door. Now golden clouds lit the way ahead, yet connecting him to that rainforest past. Then he saw the parked car with two shadows.
Santaji, you'd better come inside.
There was a seriousness in Amrik's tone. Yogi complied. The door cracked closed behind.
What's going on? Asked Yogi.
Amrik led him to Bibi's office. I need to tell you, Yogi, this shelter is a victim of surveillance. He explained that plainclothes officers sat lookout to clock their spy shift. Maybe they think a terrorist believed alive will turn up trying to see his wife or child. It is a game that Bibi is forced to play.
And do they come? Yogi had to ask. But Amrik did not answer, and voices called.
Dinner was served in lines upon the floor. The girls came round with dal and vegetable, another with curd and cucumber. Amrik dropped hot chapatis directly into hands. This was langar, the community kitchen feast served on steel thalis in Sikh temples. Perhaps the shock of surveillance cops outside made Yogi eat too fast, or maybe his stomach was better spiked with spicy food, not fear. They were leaving early, and they bid good night. The shelter was tight, so both the men were sharing. Yogi on top bunk shined his torch and wrote, his heart running swiftly to the village. Darling, why aren't we both going to the mountains? I came with Amrik Singh from Garamukteshwara, the brother of the woman in charge of this girl's shelter we're staying at. Leaving early, back in 10 days. Are you coping with the mud? Love you, Yogi. For Margot. Go talk with mountains, go away today. She said it in a dream last night. Right. Can mountains really stand and talk? Walk. In snow and cold with the leopard's eye? Try. Who can do this? I'm weak and faint. A saint. He would ask Barhai to pass this on to Margot. The early morning rose for recitation. Turban Singhinis sat in rows, cross-legged before the Granth, following their eldest ensconced behind the holy book, intoning. Then came the flowing hour of Kirtan, one long poem set to rhythmic ragas. Effulgence sat deep down into his chest. And a nervous woman brought them paranthas. Yogi said thanks. Her pained look spoke out hope. Amrik passed his wad of stapled hundreds and Bibi passed a quarto envelope.
Can you carry this, Santaji? Amrik asked.
Keep it flat in your guitar case.
My pleasure.
Their taxi zoomed them onward to the bus stand.
You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode.